Hello, everyone, and once again, welcome to another episode of the iPhone Podcast. This is episode 10. I'm your host, Gary Ng, and I'm here alongside Justin Louie. Hey, Justin, how are you doing today?
Very good, and thanks again, everyone, for listening. And we're back on track. This is going to be out a little late, but hopefully we'll be recording every Thursday from now on and trying to get these out Friday evening for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. We have a lot of some really awesome news to talk about, so let's get started. As everyone knows, Apple held a press conference regarding the iPhone 4 antenna issue, also known as Antenna Gate. At this conference here, Steve Jobs, at the end, announced that there will be free iPhone 4 bumpers for everyone. Whether you purchased an iPhone 4 and you bought a bumper, you're going to get a refund. And if you're going to buy an iPhone 4, you will get a free bumper. And this goes until the end of September. And it also applies to international purchases as well.
Yeah, it's a smart move for Apple. Most people believe this takes care of the problem, and a recall or any other solution would have cost them a lot of money. This, you know, half the people won't even send away or do the right thing to get it. So they're going to save money this way. But what did you think of the rest of the press conference, how Steve handled it?
Well, I thought that it was the way that they handled this PR disaster and the way that they were able to successfully flip it around was actually quite impressive. Instead of just talking about the, you know, they made it very clear, if you touch this one spot on the iPhone 4, you're going to run into some attenuation issues. But, you know, bringing in the other smartphone companies such as RIM, Nokia, Android phones, Windows mobile phones, it's pretty funny because it sort of deflects the press on the iPhone 4, and it talks about how, you know, other companies also have this issue. So it's also, he's kind of making it into more of a death grip instead of just the spot. So that was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how I feel about it, how they handled it, because on one hand, I'm sticking by what I've said all along, that the whole situation's been kind of blown out of proportion. If you read those numbers that Steve said about the amount of returns and the amount of calls, any podcast or blog or anything you follow, any iPhone community out there, everyday people aren't reporting this problem. It seems like it's a small number of users experiencing it, and you almost have to do it on purpose. So for Steve Jobs to come out and show all that, to me, it's almost him conceding that it's a bigger deal than it is. It seems almost too defensive. So I'm still mixed feelings on how they're handling it, but the free bumper was a good idea, and I'm sure there's a lot of people happy with that, because like I said, I was going to buy the phone no matter what, and now that I get a free bumper, that's just a bonus.
Exactly. I mean, he was very passionate about the issue, saying that it was overblown. It was interesting how they spent so much time showing videos of other smartphones having the same antenna problem. I mean, it's almost like he's letting everyone know that, you know, other phones have these problems, and immediately people will start trying to recreate this problem on other phones, and they'll be uploading these videos to YouTube like crazy, which we've already seen.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, it's good that everyone's going to get the free case now, and like I said, I'm still just not 100% convinced that was the right way to do it, because to me, it's almost like you're conceding that it is a bigger problem than you want to admit. On one hand, he's saying, oh, really, it's not that big a problem. You kind of have to do it on purpose, and people are just doing it to get themselves on YouTube. And then in the next hand is trotting out 16 different other phones, including, I think they've updated their website since, showing other phones. To me, it seems like maybe overly defensive.
Yeah, it definitely puts them on the defensive. But at the same time, you know, people love free stuff. And to offer a free bumper case, I mean, people are happy to have this $29 case for free, but at the same time, it doesn't fix the actual issue on the outside of the phone. Steve did mention how he thought that when it came to the iPhone 3GS, 80% of people leaving Apple stores after purchasing the phone were able to buy a case, because there was no design change going from the 3G to the 3GS. Whereas with the iPhone 4, Apple didn't send out their prototypes or their dimensions to accessory makers right away, So right now there are no cases out there and bumpers have been sold out. So he was saying only about, well, I can't remember the number, but a very limited number of people were leaving with a case. So, I mean, most people use iPhones in a case anyways, so you
Yeah, I
get a
was
case
shocked
and
by that
the
number.
problem is solved.
I knew a lot of people use cases, but I couldn't believe that 80% of people who bought the phone from an Apple store bought a case at the same time. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, what was also interesting was how Apple was actually they let members of the press, they go and visit their testing chambers and their labs, which they said they spend about $100 million on. I think they let about, you know, only 11 people into these labs. Even Apple PR people have never even been into these labs. So I mean, for people who have accused Apple of saying, you know what, you know, they didn't know about this issue. They're probably testing the final prototype with a case and didn't know that this would happen. I have a feeling that Apple knew very well that this was going to be the case, no pun intended, and that you know, they were prepared for the fallout, and that was probably why they had this bumper case, you know, because I mean, think about the press that they've been getting over this, whether it's good or bad. I mean, it's, you know, just don't hold it that way, really.
I think they were somewhat aware of it, and they miscalculated that people were going to go right to that spot. Like Steve Jobs said, X marks the spot, and I don't think they realized how many people would be so quick to test that spot and then post videos on YouTube. And I think that's the part they didn't expect. I think they knew that there would be some problem with this new antenna, but I wish I remembered the podcast I was listening to, because I just happened to be listening to another podcast this afternoon, and they brought on an antenna expert. And I guess this guy's a pretty big deal, has worked for a lot of companies. And he said he's been all over the world in these testing facilities, and he's never seen one as advanced or as incredible as Apple's. And he truly believes that this antenna on the outside is a breakthrough and what you'll see in other phones down the road. It's just because they're so new and they didn't quite fully understand the way people would react to it. But this guy was convinced that it's the future of antenna technology. So there are a lot of experts out there who are pretty impressed with what Apple's done. And I guess you're always going to have a little bit of a growing pains when you radically change something, the design this much.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the after the press conference, there was a Q&A session. Steve Jobs did admit that one of their, you know, failures was the lack of education for the public regarding this new antenna. I mean, he talks about how, you know, older phones such as Nokias and other phones in their manuals, they talk about the placement of the antenna and they tell you not to put your hands there because you will run into signal issues, right? But I guess, you know, for Apple not saying this, and people were able to figure it out on their own, that was a big issue, especially when it comes to these popular tech blogs that blog about it, right? And people love stories about Apple. I mean, Apple, you know, they like to portray themselves as the quote unquote the perfect company and their best products that are the best in the world. And when people see that there is a flaw, they're quick to jump on them because there are certain types of Apple users out there that are quick to put down your product if it's if it doesn't have an Apple logo on it.
Well, it certainly proves that Apple is the center of the universe when it comes to this stuff, because now we've learned that almost every phone on the market suffers from these problems, and that 90% of them actually have something in their manual explaining that issue, but I've never heard of that before. No blogs were talking about holding an Android phone a certain way a few weeks ago. So again, it proves that it doesn't exist unless Apple's involved.
Yeah, there's no other phone out there, like no particular phone out there that gets as much press as the iPhone. I mean, I guess part of that is because Apple doesn't release 10 models a year like, you know, RIM does with their BlackBerries, you know, or the current hardware releases we're seeing from Samsung and HTC and all these other Android makers. I mean, it's just overwhelming the number of handsets that are out there. But when it comes to the iPhone, right now there only are three models, so I mean it sort of keeps a narrow focus for people to talk about.
And until the last 6 months, it was so far ahead of every other phone. I don't care. I know there's people listening. Well, probably not listening, because if you're listening to this, you're an iPhone fan. But there's always been people who love their BlackBerries because they have to have that keyboard or whatever it is. But until the most recent bunch of Android phones, there was nothing that compared to the iPhone. The iPhone became this huge because it was so far ahead of everything else on the market, and in a lot of ways still is. So that's the reason it's always going to get more attention, at least for the next little while, till all these other phones eventually catch up. But I guess we better move on to the next story.
At the end of the press conference, Steve Jobs made a major announcement. He confirmed that July 30th is the date that Canada will be getting the iPhone 4 along with the second batch of countries. So this is an exciting time for Canadians who have been waiting for the iPhone 4 and other countries as well. So far, we haven't heard any pricing yet from Apple or our carriers, and we haven't heard any upgrade policies from our carriers. However, they all have come out with these iPhone 4 email registration pages, and that's about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go on an hour rant on this, but it's so disappointing that the carriers handle it this way. And if there is something holding it up, they don't have certain information, they should just come out and say that, because it seemed like every day you were posting something on iPhoneinCanada.ca, and it was like, oh, news, but it's no news. It's, oh, guess what? This company now put up a page that basically says, guess what? It's coming. Well, we already knew that. Half of them didn't even put the date yet. I went into a Rogers store the other day just for fun, and I asked the guy when he expected upgrade pricing, and he's like, probably the night before. And I said, yeah, just like last year. He's like, yeah. And he's like, but they did tell us that you could maybe pre-approve certain people. So he typed in my name, and he was like, no, you can't upgrade to an iPhone, but you can upgrade to these other phones. So they're leaving it apparently to the last minute again. But hopefully they'll surprise us this week and at least give it a couple days notice. But it doesn't look good because we're 7-8 days away and there's nothing available.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, in a way, I guess this also for them, for these companies, they're trying to build up the hype by releasing it last minute. It confuses us, but it also gets us excited that, you know, we need to get it now before stocks run out and while this new plan or this new feature is available. So it could be part of a marketing tactic on their part.
The only reasonable explanation I can think of is that the numbers are so limited on the release date and the several weeks after that they don't want everybody geared up to doing it. Maybe they figure by leaving it last minute, they're just dealing with the super freaks and then everybody else can deal with it. Because I know last year for the 3GS, there wasn't huge numbers available. And if the iPhone 4 is even more limited, which it appears to be, then maybe that's part of the reason why if they announce this week all these people are available for upgrades, then they'll be swamped. And maybe that's what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, we're just going to have to wait and find out. But what is important is that we will be able to buy the iPhone 4 outright at Apple stores, and they will be factory unlocked for those who do care. And, you know, this is important for people who don't want to be locked into three-year contracts and they need an unlocked phone to travel with. This is a great, great time for people who are fans of unlocked phones, and I'm going to be buying my iPhone 4 unlocked from Apple.
So you're going to buy it that way no matter what the upgrade policies are?
Yes. I'm no longer going to be signing any contracts with any carrier.
Well, I know I said a few weeks ago that I definitely would, but I'm even having second thoughts now. If Rogers comes out with something this week that's a really good deal, I may do it, but I'm getting more tempted all the time. Like you said, if you buy it outright and suffer that big cost once, then every year you can upgrade without having to worry about it. And the value, the resale value on an unlocked phone will probably help most people subsidize a significant amount of that phone the next year. So it's definitely tempting now. I may have changed my mind if this keeps up.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, if the pricing comes out at $649 for the 16 gigabyte unlocked and $749 for the 32 gigabyte, these are the same prices that you can get iPhone 3GS units at. I mean, in a year's time, you could still sell your unlocked device for, you know, at least maybe $500, $500 or $600. I mean, you see some of these unlocked auctions on eBay or just on Craigslist. I mean, it holds its value. So, you know, all you're doing is paying a couple $100 to upgrade the next year, which is the same thing what you're doing with your carrier, but you're not signing a 3-year agreement.
Exactly.
So anyways, let's move on. We have a story here. It's regarding the search warrant with Jason Chen and Gizmodo. The search warrant has now been withdrawn, and I believe Jason Chen has received some of his computers back and some of his other belongings after the, I guess, some sort of government agency went and entered his house.
Yeah, I guess it was some kind of deal that his lawyer offered, saying, "We'll give you the information you need if you give us our stuff back and end the search warrant." So I just threw that in the lineup to kind of hopefully that puts an end to that story. And the only interesting thing now is I don't think it's a coincidence that Gizmodo is kind of leading the charge when it comes to negative press against Apple. You can tell they're still bitter about the whole situation, but I don't think it's in their best business interest to keep that up if they ever want to be able to properly be taken at all serious about any topic, because it's their motives are pretty apparent.
Yes, you can definitely feel the negative tone of the majority of their iPhone 4 stories. It's like they are trying to get revenge on Apple for what's been done. But I think they really need to take a look into the mirror and see, look at their own actions because they caused this themselves.
Exactly. And if you want to be taken seriously as a tech blog, then you can't report like this because nobody's going to take anything you say seriously. If you just want to become almost a, I don't know what, just some kind of joke site or almost like a, like, you know what I mean? The National Enquirer of tech sites. If
Yeah,
that's your goal,
exactly.
then go for it. But if you ever want to be taken seriously as a tech place again, you better knock this off. He's got his stuff back. Let's move on now.
Right on. Moving on. There's an interesting story here about FaceTime in the iPhone 4. There's one gentleman who has managed to capitalize on FaceTime, and he's been charging people money to have FaceTime chats with him so he can sketch your face and use that. You can use that image as some sort of avatar, and he's been charging $50 for it. And I mean, I think this is a he's very opportunistic to come up with this idea, but I mean, in the end, I don't understand why people couldn't just email him a picture and then he could just sketch it from the picture instead of looking at the FaceTime camera for, 30 minutes.
Yeah, that would certainly make more sense, but I think it was all part of the gimmick. So again, I put that one in the lineup just because I thought it was a pretty creative way to take advantage of the hype of FaceTime. And I did see some of his work in that blog post, and he does do some pretty incredible avatars. So it's a neat story.
Right. I hear some buzzing.
Yeah, it's my freaking phone. Thought I had
Next
it
story
off.
here. T-Mobile, rumors that they're in advanced talks for Q3 iPhone launch. So once again, we have another story about another carrier that might get the iPhone. And this time around, it's T-Mobile in the USA.
Yeah, I actually think this one could happen because the company that owns T-Mobile has the iPhone in other countries, and you can tell that Steve Jobs has just about had it with AT&T. So I wouldn't be surprised if this happened at all. I think the stories report that Apple tried to go with Verizon from the beginning. So those two just can't see. I don't think it's as much about AT&T anymore as it is Apple and Verizon coming to a deal. So I wouldn't at all be surprised to see T-Mobile. And I think Apple now realizes that they need to get this phone on all the carriers. The rest of the world, everybody has it. It's working out great for them. And they're losing a lot of business. There's a lot of people buying Android phones, not because the Android is so great, because it's second best and it's available on their carrier. A lot of people don't care about the phone as much as the carrier. So it's in their best interest to make this happen as soon as possible. And I think, thankfully, we'll be done with this story soon because it'll just be on other carriers in the US as well. And then everybody can move on.
Yes, this story talks about how the frequency of T-Mobile's network would require a new iPhone. So that this, if Apple does decide to do this, it would certainly, allow it to enter other markets around the world. As right now, their current iPhone spectrum is only compatible with certain countries and networks. So I mean, if the iPhone is going to sell more, this is going to have to be a sort of a evolutionary row that the iPhone will follow. Moving on, now when Apple had their press conference and they dogged on RIM with their BlackBerry Bold 9700, they also They also talked about Nokia. Nokia came out and sort of lashed back at Apple and said, when they come to their designs, they worry more about, getting a better antenna and therefore foregoing, sort of the cosmetics of devices. Basically, they nailed Apple on their antenna issue. What does Apple do? They come back and they add the Nokia N97 Mini to their antenna information page, which basically, shows that the N97 is also a phone that can suffer from attenuation when you do a death grip. So this is pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't need the CEO or whoever that was to announce that. Anybody who's ever seen a Nokia phone knows that they're ugly, so we already knew they don't spend any time on the design. And again, I'm not sure that Apple was smart to take this tack, but they're certainly going for it full bore, and the other companies aren't that happy with it.
Also, here's an app right now. It was a flashlight app made by a 15-year-old developer. From the get-go, the app looked like it would just let you turn your iPhone 4 into a flashlight and have different colors. But underneath the app, in the deeper bowels of the app, it actually was an app that would allow you to tether your iPhone data connection on AT&T. This was one that got by the reviewers at Apple. The app has been pulled, but people who have been able to download the app, they still are able to tether using this app.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal, 99 cents for a tethering app. The only problem with a story like this is if too many developers get this idea, then Apple might have to spend more time reviewing them, and then we'll be right back to where we were months ago, where everybody was complaining that the approval process takes too long. So it's a double-edged sword. A, I'm sure there's a bunch of developers thinking, oh, this is a creative way for us to get an app out there, but it'll probably just hurt them in the long run, so.
It's also a great way to get yourself banned as an iPhone developer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a great little prank, short-term gain, but in the long run, it's definitely hurting the developer. Another story here, Apple denies that they have been creating artificial product shortages to increase hype. This is a story from Apple Insider. Basically, it's saying that Apple is, not creating these shortages. At Apple's recent press conference to talk about their Q3 earnings, I believe Tim Cook basically said the iPhone 4 is selling out as fast as they can make them.
Never buy these stories that companies do it on purpose. Nintendo was accused of the same thing. I don't, any extra hype you get by it being limited, I don't think it outweighs the fact that you're losing sales. The iPhone 4 is always a big hit when it comes out because people want it. Same with the Nintendo Wii. People didn't think it was going to be that good of a system. Most of the gaming press was kind of down on it, and then when it came out and got in people's hands, people loved it and had a lot of fun with it, and that's what generated the hype. I don't think Apple's doing this, and I don't think most companies do that. I think, like I said, the loss in sales, the people standing there wanting to buy it and not being able to buy it, I don't think would be make smart business sense to artificially do that.
I completely agree. Let's move on to Apple's Q3 2010 financial results. This was an incredible quarter for Apple. They had a record revenue of $15.7 billion and a net quarterly profit of $3.25 billion. Compared to a year ago, they had $9.73 billion and a quarterly profit of $1.83 billion. So that is a huge jump. This is, their best revenue ever. They sold about almost 8.5 million iPhones. This is up 61% from a year ago. 9.4 million iPods, which is an 8% decline compared to a year ago. The next stat really got my eye opened. My eyes opened. That was that 3.47 million Macs sold, which is a new record, and there were 3.27 million iPads sold. So here we have this new product that people said was going to flop, and it almost outsold the Mac.
Well, what's really amazing about it is not only has it been an unqualified success? But even the analyst who said, hey, maybe this thing will work, they thought it was going to work at possibly the expense of the Mac computers. People thought, hey, maybe some people are going to buy this iPad instead of a MacBook, and those sales are up as well. So that hasn't been the case, and there's no way, nothing you can say about this story except for amazing. Like, this is a company that 10 years ago was a small little fringe computer company and now are one of the biggest computer companies in the world. And like John Gruber, I think, was the one who pointed it out the other day, the iPad really should be considered a computer. And if you add those two numbers together, they're now one of the biggest computer manufacturers in the world. So, and again, it's when I get annoyed when I hear all these analysts say, oh, look at the Android, it's now outselling the iPhone. Well, they're including everything that runs the Android operating system, but they're only including the iPhone. If you include the iPod Touch and the iPad in those numbers, then the iPhone OS is the biggest OS as well. So it's amazing what Apple's done, and doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon, despite what some of the naysayers in the press say.
Yes, definitely. Let's talk about some sort of app updates. Apple updated iBooks, and they were able to add audio and video capabilities. There's just some new features of iBooks. It's great that Apple has been, releasing constant updates for iBooks. This one will now let you enjoy audiobooks as well as some video books as well. So this is a pretty neat update for those people who are using iBooks.
Yeah, and they also improved the PDF viewing, which I have a few on my phone, and it really did make a big difference on how easy it is to page through PDFs. And I haven't had a chance to find any books with audio and video in it, but the minute I saw the iPad, that's what I thought. That, to me, that's the future of books. We're only in the early days of books. Imagine what it'll be like in a few years if you buy an iPhone book. And instead of just having text and pictures describing a situation where you just click on a little embedded video and then see something demoed right there before your eyes, or read a certain, you're say reading a biography and you read a couple pages and then there's a clip from that person in an interview or something like that. It's pretty amazing what they're going to be able to do with the books on the iPad soon.
Right. Next up, we have a story that is from Macworld. They did some battery tests comparing the iPhone 3G and the iPhone 3GS. The first test was an iOS 3 battery test, and that was compared to the latest iOS 4 update. So, what OS will give you better battery life? Well, let's go to the iPhone 3G. The iPhone 3G on 3.13 software was able to get about 200 minutes time trials. About they said they got about 200 minutes out of that. On the iPhone 3G on iOS 4.0, they got 210 minutes, so a 10-minute improvement. Now let's go to the 3GS. In a nutshell, iPhone OS 4.0 gave them about a 35-minute increase. This is when they're using phone calls, surfing the internet, using Wi-Fi, downloading games on Wi-Fi, playing games, 3G surfing, downloading via 3G, playing games, downloading a rented movie, watching a movie. So yeah, that's pretty impressive for them to note it, have iOS 4 have better battery management.
When you think about it, it's actually incredible. I kind of felt that I was getting more battery life, but I wasn't, and you never know if your mind's playing tricks on you or what your situation is. But when I read that story and saw how they tested that and then the results, I was pretty blown away. It's pretty amazing that Apple has been able to build in background processing and all these new features and actually save battery life. Most people thought that was going to take a big hit. That was one of the big reasons not to do it initially, was they were fearful of the battery hit. So to be able to do that and get better battery is amazing. And like I said, I've noticed that in real world because I do a lot of background streaming and I find the battery lasts much longer than, say, using like Backgrounder when you used to have to jailbreak to get the streaming audio in the background. So it's pretty amazing what Apple has been able to accomplish. And again, it just proves that you may have to wait for certain things with Apple, but they don't fool around. Steve Jobs said all along, we want to have background processing, but we're concerned about the battery life. When we get that lipped, we'll bring it out. They've done that, and it works really well and save batteries. So very good job by Apple.
Yeah, well done. Another story here that I'm not sure we covered in our other episode, that was the release of iOS 4.01, the first update to iOS 4. And this update, all it did was change the algorithm of how the iPhone will calculate your signal bars. Basically, Apple has changed the length of the bars and how it calculates your signal. So the lower bars now have, they're now longer in length. People have had issues. People are now saying where when they had 5 bars, they now only have 3 or 4 bars. So really, it begs the question, what was your actual signal strength previously on the iPhone and on other phones? I mean, what phones are telling you the truth? Are these signal bars exaggerated to show that, you have the best signal?
Well, that is a problem because, especially in the States, they were really promoting bars. I mean, half the commercials you saw were discussing, how many bars in how many areas, whatever. And now not to have any kind of industry standard how to measure those. But I applaud Apple for doing the right thing and fixing it. And I can tell you where I am with Rogers, my phone never showed anything less than 5 bars. And now since doing the update, I haven't seen 5 bars since. I get 3 or 4 max, and I'm down to 1 or 2 a lot of times. But the interesting thing is, even when you have 1 bar, I never have any trouble connecting a call or staying on a call. So it is just, it's not like suddenly our reception's worse. It's showing a more accurate, it's showing the bars more accurately, but it's not like you're suddenly dropping calls. So I'm sure Rogers has got a few more phone calls because of it, but it was the right move to do, and hopefully everybody follows suit and we can really understand from now on what our reception's actually like.
Yeah, I mean, this is very interesting for them to change the images of the bar to try to sort of alleviate all the pressure they've been getting with the antenna. But I'd really like to play the iPhone 4 myself in Canada with our carrier networks to sort of come to my own conclusion. And I will be holding it in a different way. Okay, let's move on to some iPad news. Basically, news reports are saying that the iPad demand is still high. Like we mentioned in the Q3 results, Apple did sell about 3.25 million iPads. Here we have America's Research Group. They did a survey of 1,000 people. They found that 8.4% said they already bought an iPad, and about 6% said they intend to purchase another. Everyone I know, I talk to, they touch an iPad, they see it, they want to buy it. I mean, we stopped by an Apple store downtown Vancouver just yesterday, my wife and I, and the place was jam-packed. Every single iPad that was on demo, it was in use, and it was just incredible. The number of people that are playing with the iPad, and they're just discovering this new sort of tablet. I believe one of my uncles, he just picked up an iPad. He just couldn't resist. I mean, it's I guess, it's a great third device that is in between your phone and your computer.
And I do think people getting a chance to use it is the key difference maker. I know I don't have an Apple store in my city, but we have a Best Buy, and the Best Buy never has any Apple product for demo. Like, we have one little table, and you might have one MacBook, one iMac, and they have 5 or 6 iPads out there. And I was in there with my brother, and he's like, what is that iPad thing? And he had zero interest in it, and he spent about 3 minutes messing around with it. It was like, oh my God, I have to have one of these. Like, I think that's going to be the reaction for a lot of people. So it doesn't surprise me that places like Best Buy are putting a lot of them on display. And I know anytime I've been in Best Buy, when I've talked to any of the guys working there, they're having trouble keeping them in stock. So I think the demand is high and going to get even higher as people get a chance to check this out.
Yeah, like I said in the beginning, the iPad is one of those devices where you just need to try it to sort of, make your own conclusion whether you're going to like it or not. Moving on, we have a very popular iPad app that was just released yesterday. It's called Flipboard. And what it is it's a social, it turns your social network into a virtual magazine. On the iPad itself, I've downloaded this app. You can enter in your Facebook login details and your Twitter. There's also a bunch of content streams from the Wall Street Journal, TED Talks, The Economist, And in a nutshell, it really brings out what the iPad can do. You can turn the pages by flipping them, and it's in an animated way. It makes looking at your social stream beautiful on the iPad, and this is just the beginning. The app has been inundated with Facebook and Twitter requests to log in, and it's just been down. So I haven't been able to test what my Facebook and my Twitter stream would look like. But for everything else, pictures, text, it looks amazing with Flipboard.
Yeah, and for anybody listening who doesn't have an iPad yet, you should go on YouTube or their website and see some of the demo videos because it is incredible looking. And the nice thing about it is not only have they taken a great interface, to me, they've set the bar now for how you read and interact with content on the iPad. But like you said, by taking your social stream and not only just it's like if your friend updates every 3 minutes about what they're eating for lunch, you don't get that stuff. You just get the links people are sharing. So instead of surfing all over the internet trying to find every last article you're interested in, and now you follow the right people and they curate your paper. So now instead of just picking up a magazine or a website, you actually have this interactive magazine that's feeding you what people you follow, people you've shown an interest in, what they're interested in. So it kind of changes the whole experience, and that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, let's see here. We have another story. This is regarding the iPad in Canada website. We've now started some new forums for all you iPad users out there that want to talk with other iPad users and talk about the best apps that you're using or how you use your iPad, any sort of tips and tricks. Or if you're having trouble with your iPad, you can now go to our brand new forums. It's actually a subsection of the iPhone in Canada forums. But if you want to check out the iPad forums, just go to iPadincanada.ca/forums, and that will take you to the subsection. We just created it late last night, and we're hoping to get some more steam. Register on the forums. It's completely free. We're actually going to be holding a giveaway next week to celebrate the relaunch of the forums. We'll be giving away a lot of iPhone 4 swag, such as invisible shields from Zag, especially for the iPhone 4. So if that's something that you're interested, I highly recommend that all iPad users out there go check out the forums. There's a lot to talk about and a lot to read.
Cool.
Let's move on to some apps for the iPhone that have been making some waves. One of them that came out, I believe, earlier this week or late last week was called Firefox Home. Basically, what this is it's Fire. The app is on your iPhone, but it will sync any open tabs you have in your Firefox browser on your PC or I mean, on your PC or on your Mac. So let's say you're working at the office and you have a whole bunch of tabs open and you have to go home. If you have the Firefox Sync plugin installed, it will automatically save your tabs and even your bookmarks and your passwords and your history to the cloud. And when you open Firefox Home on your iPhone, all of those tabs that you had open are right there with you.
Yeah, it's a very cool app. It's just a killer app if you're a Firefox user. I've kind of moved away from Firefox, but I installed it just to test it out, and now I really want Safari to do something similar because I prefer Safari. But to be able to just quickly, and you don't have to do anything. That's the nice thing. If you go into Firefox and create a sync account, and then you launch the iPhone app, put in your credentials once, and then every single time you go to that app, anytime forward, it actually remembers your tabs from the last time you were using it, like you said, all your histories and your bookmarks. So it's pretty incredible, and I hope Safari builds in something similar because that's a nice feature.
Right. Okay, let's move on to another app. This one is huge. Skype 2.01 released. It now allows calls to be received in the background. So now Skype has been fully updated for iOS 4. I know you've been waiting for this, Justin, and a lot of people have been waiting as well. Another important announcement is that the team at Skype, they have cleared up the situation and they've announced that they will not be charging for calls over 3G anymore.
Very smart of Skype, and I predicted this a couple weeks ago. I said that it would come out and it would be amazing, and that's what it is. Skype, for some reason, is super slow to get these updates out, but when they do it right. The minute I upgraded it, I was right away able to get a call. I talked to one person for an hour last night, did over 3G. We were both on 3G, crystal clear quality, didn't drop the call. So, I mean, this changes the way people use the iPhone. Like, it's getting to the point where I'm tempted to drop my Rogers voice coverage and just buy an iPhone and a data plan and use Skype. It's that good.
I completely agree. I've been using Skype as my long distance option, and I've been able to save so much money. I mean, Skype has subscription plans, that will allow you to call any landline in Canada and the USA for a mere $3 a month. So it's a great deal for people out there. You should check out, our review of Skype on the blog. I use it all the time. And if you're not using it, you're spending way too much money because people don't even know that you're on Skype most of the time.
No, they don't. And now that you can do it in the background, like somebody was asking on the blog, well, how do you receive calls? Well, now it just runs in the background and you get this alert that you have a call coming in, and Skype to Skype calls are free. And if you do want a phone number, like you want somebody who doesn't have Skype to phone you, you can get Skype in numbers. But the problem is there's no Canadian numbers at this point. But to me, now that there's backgrounding available, if Skype makes this available on other handsets, then it becomes a point where maybe you don't even need a phone number. Everybody you know, you just have their Skype ID, and then why even use a phone number?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're still going to need a phone number. But for people who are using Skype a lot, I mean, this is an amazing money saver. Moving on to the next app, Flickr, everyone's favorite image site for hosting your images. The Flickr app now gets support for iOS 4 features, which means there's that one feature that will allow you to finish uploading your images to Flickr while you're doing something else.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but the background upload, I love it, because if you've ever tried to upload a picture into Dropbox or onto Flickr, or if you use the WordPress app, any of these things, you're usually on 3G or the phone only has so much upload capability, so you're often your phone's useless while you're uploading it. Now you can just click the photo you want to upload, hit upload, then leave the app. And then you can be onto something else, and it just does it in the background. And if anybody hasn't used the Flickr app before, I do recommend it. It's a very good app, and it really makes browsing Flickr really, really nice. If you can pick public, or if you have friends who are on Flickr, put in their username, and you get nice slideshows, and you can flick the pictures and expand them. And it's a very nice interface to view Flickr.
Right. Okay, this next app, I believe you talked about this. It's called Glue. Can you tell us more about this app?
Yeah, Glue has been out a while, and I don't know why the sudden hype again. It's a bunch of blogs have been talking about it, and it's been on several podcasts this week. It's basically like Foursquare or Gowalla, but for movies and music and basically what you're doing. So the idea is, if you're sitting there getting ready to watch a TV show or a movie, you update your status that way, and then people can follow what you're doing. So basically it's Twitter or Facebook or Foursquare, but for entertainment. And the nice thing about it is it allows you to rate your favorite music and TV shows and movies, and then gives you recommendations for other stuff you like or other users you might want to follow. And the other feature that I think is really neat with this app, and I think they're the first to do it, and I think it's really smart, is you can earn badges and stickers, which isn't new. You can earn badges on, like I said, Gowalla and Foursquare. But what this company actually does is you earn so many badges a month, and you can send away for them, and they'll mail you them free. So not only do you get the badge on the app, but you get the badge in real life, and they send some pretty nice looking stickers, and they have special deals with certain TV shows like Dexter. So if you've watched Dexter so many times, you get a nice Dexter sticker in the mail. And I thought that was a pretty unique way of advertising their company and giving people more incentive to take part in it.
Right. This is a crazy app. I mean, it's the power of social networking. You can find out what's hot right away. You can learn about more about what other people are doing. But on the other side of the coin, I mean, if you have your real profile out there, you are divulging your entire life out to the internet. So for those people who are trying to keep private,
I figure if people are willing to go on Facebook and show their birthday party on there, or they're willing to go on Gowalla and share with people right where they are at any given moment, then it shouldn't be a big deal to tell people that you're watching a certain TV show or movie, unless you really just watch embarrassing stuff and you don't want people to know. But it's all voluntary. It's not like it monitors what you're watching. You have to plug it in. So if you have some guilty pleasures that you don't want people knowing about, then just don't put that in.
Right on. Next app, VLC Remote 5.0. It's been updated with Retina graphics and multitasking. Have you used this app yet?
I tried it briefly when it came out to test it, and it really is amazing. If you use VLC on your PC or Mac, then it's a great remote and it's free. I just don't use VLC that much, so it's not a big deal, but I do like these remote apps for the iPhone. It's pretty handy to be able to control your media with the iPhone.
Yeah, one of my favorite apps on my iPad is Air Video. This lets me watch movies that I have on my computer, and it's streamed over my network at home to my iPad. And the cool thing about Air Video is that it does live conversion. So if I have movies that are in a DivX format and that aren't, you know, Apple ready, it will convert over the air, and it's, you know, there's no lag. Everything is perfect. It's great. It's a must-have for any iPad owner.
Yeah, the interaction between the iPad and other devices is really a killer feature. I think I meant to put it in the lineup, and I didn't. There's a game called Trench Run. It's a Star Wars game for the iPhone. And what they did with this latest release is you can actually use your iPhone to control the web version. So you can actually go to StarWars.com and play the online version of the game, but use your iPhone as a controller. So again, the interaction, these link-ups between the iPhone and PC hardware or other entertainment boxes, again, is showing another really cool use that I think we're just at the very earliest stages of seeing what people can do with that.
Right on. And here's one more app. It's another sort of messaging app for the iPhone. This time around, it's called Hello Messenger. It's also available for BlackBerry. I tested out Hello Messenger today. The neat thing about Hello Messenger is that it includes group chat. So out of all these sort of free SMS apps, Hello Messenger is pretty neat because it does allow you group chat. You can send pictures as well. It does give you a unique PIN, kind of like BlackBerry. BlackBerry Messenger, a lot of people like to have their PINs to share with their friends. So if you know, if you like to have a PIN and you want to, you know, do some group chat with push notifications, Hello Messenger is completely free in the App Store. I tested it out today and it works well, but it seems that my iPhone is just flooded with all these free chat apps. I have WhatsApp, that's one of my favorites. Now I have this, I'm testing Hello Messenger. I've tried Kick. I've tried a whole bunch. So if you're looking for more free messaging apps and you want to annoy your friends to sign up once again, give this one a shot.
I've mentioned before, I never even download these apps because I happen to have unlimited SMS on my phone. I have unlimited picture messaging and everything, so I've never needed to use it. But I saw that you had mentioned it, and I downloaded it while we were prepping the show. And it's pretty incredible how it not only works well, but it uses your address book to find other members. Like the minute I just launched it, and I got this badge saying, we've found people you're with, and I clicked on it and it showed you, and I sent you a message and you responded right away. So there's no setup. Like it somehow knows through the address book who you know has already signed up for it. So it was pretty amazing to be able to install this app and like literally 5 seconds later be messaging you. So that was cool.
Yeah, these developers are making it easier and easier for the integration with your contacts and how to find your friends. It's amazing. I mean, WhatsApp does the same. You don't even need to enter in any contacts for your friends. With WhatsApp, it knows people in your contact list who are already using the program, and you just message them right away. No need to sign up, nothing. So that's one of the benefits that I like about WhatsApp. Are there any other apps that you want to talk about this week?
I just will throw it quickly, no major reviews this week because we had so many other apps to discuss, but I would mention for Tron fans out there, Disney has released a free Tron game, and the thing I found interesting about this game, I only had a couple minutes to play with it, but it has really phenomenal graphics, really good control, and it's the type of game you'd expect to pay several dollars for. Like it's like I said, I haven't had much chance to really review the overall game, how long it is or how enjoyable it is. I only had a few minutes to check it out, but really high quality graphics and sound, and it looks like a pretty involved game, and it's completely free. So I think it's pretty interesting that Disney is releasing that high end of a game in order to promote the upcoming movie. The other app I'll quickly mention that I'll probably follow up on a future podcast is there's an app called Cinch. And what Cinch lets you do is it's kind of like Twitter, but with audio, and you can record quick audio messages right on your phone, and then you can send them right out to Twitter or Facebook, so people who are following you on Twitter will get a link to listen to your audio tweet. But then it also lets you record longer things, and it gives you an RSS feed, so you could actually podcast right from the app. And right inside the app, you can actually follow other people. So when you launch the app, you can sit and listen. Like Robert Scoble is a pretty big tech journalist. He's on there. Bill Cosby is on there, and I followed him. And it's pretty neat to listen to Bill Cosby just pick up his phone, and he's just randomly talking to people. It's not like he's just promoting a certain thing. He takes questions on there and responds to people. So I think this is a pretty cool app. And like I said, I've only had a couple of days to test it, but I think I will be doing something for the iPhone podcast with this, where I might set up another feed to just do quick updates for people during the week. So you might want to check that out if you're interested in podcasting. And when we set up an account for this podcast, I'll let everybody know.
Yeah, like you said about Tron, it's amazing what can happen and the amount of viral news you can get when you release a quality product for free. I mean, pretty much every single blog out there has talked about Tron and how it's been free. I mean, this just gives them a lot more free press for their upcoming movie. So good on Disney for doing this.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for another episode of the iPhone podcast. Once again, I'd like to let everyone know that we're sponsored by our friends at Blue for their participation in allowing us to record this podcast in high quality using their Yeti microphone. This is a THX certified mic. It's well made. It has a stand. You can control the gain. There's a mute button. It's wonderful. It works out well, and I'd like to thank them for allowing us to record with their quality mics.
Yeah, thanks again, Blue. Like I've mentioned several times, I was a user of Blue before they were sponsor, and I'll continue to be, and they have something for every price range. So if you're in the market for a microphone, definitely check out Blue.
And once again, we were talking about podcasts and how you're a big fan of them, Justin. What did you want to tell our listeners today?
Yep, you can still go to audiblepodcast.com/iPhone. I mean, the iPhone podcast. So it's audiblepodcast.com/the iPhone podcast, and you can get a free month. And they have a great iPhone app too. So that's probably download the iPhone app, sign up for the free trial. And there's 75,000 audiobooks, all kinds of free podcasts, speeches, interviews. You can preview every book. So again, if you're into audiobooks, I'm preaching to the choir, but you want to check out Audible because they're the best. And if you haven't listened to audiobooks before, you should try it because I think you'll really enjoy it. So again, that's audiblepodcast.com/the iPhone podcast for free 30 days. And even if you cancel anytime during that time, you get to keep the book no matter what. So try it.
Right. And just another quick note to all the listeners out there. Our iPhone forums have been relaunched. They've been completely redone and fixed and upgraded. So if you are looking to chat more about the iPhone and the iPad, please visit the iPhone forums. You can get there at iPhoneincanada.ca/forums. We will be having a lot of iPhone 4 giveaways and other iPad giveaways as well. So please, I'm telling this first to the podcast listeners out there. No one else knows other than you guys. That's your reward for listening to our podcast. Please visit the forums, register. It's completely free. And stay tuned for some fabulous prizes coming your way.
Sounds good.
All right. So thanks again for listening, everyone. Be sure to give us feedback on the blogs. Once again, Justin, that was a great episode. And looking forward to chatting next week about the iPhone.
Yeah, thanks again, everybody. And if you have any feedback, like Gary said, you hit us on the blogs. You can also go to theiPhonePodcast.com. You can rate us in iTunes. And if you want to get a hold of me, I'm Justin@theiPhonePodcast.com or on Twitter, twitter.com/JustinLouie. That's Louey for the last name. And again, thanks for all the feedback and listening up to this point. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again, and see you guys next week.